Hi, this is Ken Tangent. This is episode 24 of What's It Like? My guest is Allison Bibikoff. Hey, Allison, how you doing?
Hi, I'm good. Good morning.
And where are you located?
I'm in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
In the San Fernando Valley in Los Angeles.
But you didn't grow up there.
I mostly did. I was born in New York, but I left when I was 5, and I moved to L.A. when I was 7. So people say that counts as a native. I say it doesn't.
Well, it's close enough.
Yeah.
So did you went to school in L.A.?
Yep. Grew up here. My family's here. Stayed for college. Went to UCLA. Mm-hmm. I like L.A.
What did you major in when you went to college?
I started as a dance major, pretty much because I knew I had a better chance of getting in because of all my dance experience in high school. And I didn't love their dance department at the time because it was all very modern-based, which I wasn't a fan of. So I transferred to theater.
Mm.
So I got a B.A. in theater.
What was your major challenge in growing up? Did you have a major challenge in school?
Not really. I was a really good student. Worked hard, I guess. I moved around a little bit, so I guess it was more the social aspect. A lot of dancers don't have the best social skills because they spend so many hours in a studio.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to think I got over that in college, but I wasn't a homecoming queen.
You're part of the theater group rather than the popular group?
I wasn't necessarily even part of a theater. We didn't really have a theater group in high school. I definitely had my own set of friends. It wasn't horrific, but I'd say if I had to find what a challenge was, I had a pretty good childhood, but if I had to pick one, that would have been it.
How did your parents impact your worldview?
That's an interesting question. I guess very, very strongly. I'm very close to my parents. I still am. I respect them a lot. I think they're brilliant people, and I really value their opinion. So.
Mm-hmm.
They were the number one factor. Yeah, just pretty much, I still sometimes ask their opinion on how to handle certain situations, whether they're mostly with whether they're with work or socially, because they've been around longer and they've had more experience.
So what exactly do you do?
I am a director and a choreographer. I work mostly in theater. Sometimes I produce. I've produced a little bit. But mostly I direct and choreograph. I've worked a little on film and television, but primarily in theater.
You have your own production company?
I do, yeah.
I love the name Alley Cat. That's so cute.
Thanks. Yeah, when I started dancing in ballet and jazz, and eventually moved into swing and salsa, and at one point I had a swing group, and we were named the Alley Cats, with A-L-L-I-C-A-T, Alley Cats. And it seemed very swingish, and for Allison, and... just kind of stuck. I'm not even a fan of cats.
What's the best thing about your job?
Let's see. The best thing about my job. Well, I love theater. I love creating theater. So I get to do it. And I think I'm pretty darn lucky. I like that I don't go to the same job every day.
Mm-hmm.
I work with a different group of people about every 6 weeks or so, which can be good and can be a challenge as well. But I get to meet a lot of different very talented people and do research in different topics for whatever show I'm working on, which I find interesting.
So what's the process like? Somebody calls you up and says, we're doing a show. We'd like you to choreograph. That's the word.
Mm-hmm. Most people stumble on it.
Make up dances for us. and then what happens?
Well, I'll read the script and play and figure out which songs I think would call for a choreographer.
Mm-hmm.
And because there's always that fine line, there are big dance numbers, and then there's numbers that have more just what we call musical staging, which is you walk here on that line. It's more simple. So sometimes the choreographer will take that. Sometimes the director will take that. I find more often the choreographer will take that. But, some of them walk that line. So I come in with my ideas and what I think might work in which numbers, and I sit down with the director and we'll go through each number and I'll hear his ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And so once we decide which numbers I'll do, how many people, we go through the casting process and figure out who can go in which number. It's a long process. So,
do you give input in terms of cast selection?
Oh, yes. Yes. It depends for each project. Some projects don't have a lot of movement in it.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's their singing and acting are definitely the first priorities, and their movement can be a determining factor between two people. But on many projects that I work on, people are not going to get cast based on their dance ability, nor are they going to be cut based on their dance ability, unless it's a decision between two people who are both great singers and actors and right for the role.
Mm-hmm.
So I realize it's, you know, my opinion about the dancing is not necessarily going to make or break, but I get to put my input in all categories.
Is there more dancing in older shows or in the newer shows that are being put on now?
I don't really find it to matter whether it was a newer show or an older show. I mean, there are shows like West Side Story in Oklahoma, which will have a lot, you know, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, which have great big dance scenes. But I recently choreographed a new musical called Saving Up for Saturday Night, which takes place in a honky-tonk dance club. And there are a lot of dance numbers in that.
Who wrote it?
Richard Levinson is a composer-lyricist, and Jeff Good was a book writer. Yeah, we did it here at, in L.A. at Sacred Fools in Hollywood, and then we produced it again at a theater out in Upland called The Grove, and I just submitted it to NYMPH, which is the New York Musical Theater Festival, which happens in September, and we're waiting to hear back if we're in that, which would be fantastic.
And if you get in, then you go there and produce it?
Yeah, I submitted the show because I really believe in the show, so I would be a producer, would be the lead producer on it, and I'd also be the choreographer. And although I do also direct, a guy named Jeremy Aldridge did a great job directing it the first two times. And of course, if he wants to direct it, he would direct it.
If it's in a festival, do you get paid for showing up?
It depends. Generally, as a choreographer, yes, there is pay. It's not going to pay your rent, but there's what they call a stipend. I actually don't even know what the choreographers pay for it because I'm the producer, so I'm raising the money for it anyway. I think the actor's pay is something like $500 for 4 weeks of rehearsal, which is really what we call a stipend.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you're an equity member and you're in this first production, then you have the right of first refusal. If the show goes on, we automatically have to offer you the role.
Oh.
So that's the payoff.
You said if you're the producer, you've got to come up with the money or find people who will put the money into the show?
Yep.
That seems like a daunting task.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It's not reality yet, so I'm not worried about it, but cross each bridge when you come to it. You know, it's not like I'm raising it for a Broadway or an off-Broadway production, so it's not in the millions of dollars, but still, there's a decent amount of money to raise.
So how do you go about doing that? Do you talk to individuals or is it foundations?
Well, yeah, there are two companies through that NYMPH has suggested that give grants of, you know, up to maybe about $2,500. A NYMPH production costs anywhere from $10,000 to about $40,000 to produce.
Mm-hmm.
And it would probably be on the higher end because it's a musical, which always costs more than a non-musical. And we're LA-based, so we've got to fly some people out, put them up and all that. So you start with people you know, and you go from there. Who might like the show? Pabst used to be mentioned in the show. Pabst the beer used to be mentioned in the show. It's not in the current script, but, you know, we would go out to Pabst and say, would you like to be a sponsor? This is probably small potatoes for them, right?
Right.
Or country western gear. Would you like to give us some boots and be our sponsor? Just try to get creative. A lot of people these days are doing a website called, now I can't even remember. I blocked it from my mind. Quickstarter or something like that, where people can donate money.
Oh.
I'm personally not a fan. I think, you know, people want me to donate money for their show. Well, hey, would you donate money? I'm decorating my house. Or donate money for my show.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer people to invest in your show. Whether it's because they get advertising in your program or in your ads or from the clothes people wear, or if the show goes on, they'll have a piece of it.
Well, then there's more investment personally as well.
Well, from companies, you know, whether it's a person, usually a person who gives money for this type of show doesn't really have much say in it. So for them, I don't mean to sound rude, but it doesn't matter to me if they're that person. They're personally invested enough to give money. That's pretty personally invested. But they don't get a lot of say.
If they are excited about it, then they may influence other people and be more likely to give next time you want money.
Well, that's what I think. Yes. I think that if they give money and they have a chance of getting money, their money back, and maybe even make a profit on it, they'll be like more likely to do it next time. Absolutely.
Yeah. What has surprised you about your job?
Well, I think a lot of people pick a career because they love the general aspect of it. They like to dance, let's say. So they want to be a choreographer or a dancer. And they don't think about a lot of the other work that's involved.
Mm-hmm.
And the lifestyle, for instance, I work a lot of nights and weekends. I don't love that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was 11, going to dance class, I probably wasn't thinking about a career at the time, but you know, in the beginning stages, I really wasn't thinking about that. I also, if I don't have a job, I'm looking for a job, which has its pluses and minuses, but it's very hard to plan a vacation. Sometimes you just plan a vacation because you know that's when you'll get a job. So there's a lot of downtime, but it's not downtime I'm going to go to the movies. It's downtime I'm not getting a paycheck. I'm going to go find another job. So those are things you don't think about when, like, oh, I want to be a choreographer.
Mm-hmm.
There's a trade-off. I prefer it to an office job, but an office job is a steady paycheck, and you get certain weeks off, and you work when your friends work, and you have off when your friends are off. And
what's the big payoff for you?
I get to be creative.
Mm-hmm. You give up the steadiness, but you get to be creative and part of a group?
And part of a group for 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're not part of any group.
Right.
I'm sitting in my loft at my desk. But it's worth it to me. But they're just things that you don't originally think about when planning a career.
Right.
You know, I don't know that if my sister is a lawyer. A very successful one, if I may brag. But I'm sure a lot of people who go to law school don't think about, well, part of being a lawyer or a doctor, I'm sure, or anything like that, is you also need to find your clients.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm really impressed with how she does that. But it's some things you don't think about when you're planning a career.
Did you like the process of becoming an artist?
Yeah, I mean, I think I get to do what a lot of people would do for free.
Mm-hmm.
For my work. Although it doesn't always pay a lot either. I mean, to me, the process of becoming a choreographer was going to dance class and then studying dance and then theater in college. All that I liked. And then when I graduated from college, I was an actress and a dancer for many years. There wasn't really formal training for being a choreographer. I mean, I guess there are some colleges, but that's not what I trained in. So I learned the process of directing from being directed by good directors and bad directors, and you learn a lot from both.
Mm-hmm.
And then same with choreographer, from watching good choreographers work and bad choreographers work. So that was my process. So I loved that. I loved being in dance class. I loved having dance and acting jobs.
It seems to me that fame comes in levels or circles. What level of fame are you at?
I guess I'm well known in the LA theater community. I wouldn't say I was famous, but I've been lucky to be working in the LA community. The LA theater community is a small community of people who actively do this all the time. So I think most people would know my name.
Mm-hmm.
Bibikoff, it's an unusual name. It sticks with you. I think most people in New York wouldn't. I've been lucky enough to work in New York twice, but nothing. You know, I was an assistant choreographer on Xanadu on Broadway, which was fantastic. It was nominated for 4 Tonys, but there was a choreographer, and then there's associate, and then I was the assistant. So I don't think people in New York would hear my name and go, oh, that's Allison from Xanadu. But yeah, I guess I'm known in the LA theater.
Mm-hmm. Is that the level that you wish to be at?
Well, I'd like to. I guess there is a higher level in LA theater. I do a lot of equity waiver. I've worked at some of the CLOs, but not nearly as much as I'd like. It's very, very, very competitive. So yes, I would love to work at some of the bigger theaters more consistently in LA.
Mm-hmm.
I never really thought of it as fame, but I definitely am trying to develop a couple of shows, which I would like to have a life in New York. I have no desire to move to New York, but I'll go there for a job. My family's in LA, and I like the weather. And
mm-hmm.
So yes, I would like to continue working in theater, and really the only way to make a living is to have bigger shows that do well in New York at least once, and then they tour and have a life.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I have 2 shows in particular right now I'm working on developing. But then again, speak to an LA theater person. They have a few shows they're working on developing, you know, or they're writing a screenplay, right?
Yes, of course. That's what all the cab drivers are doing when you...
Wait, well, the cab drivers in New York and the waiters in LA.
So people essentially don't go into choreography to become famous?
They do. That's not the smartest move. I mean, really, how many choreographers can you name? Yeah, exactly. I guess maybe some do at first, but they learn quickly, hope that that's not, they're not going to stay in it if that's the reason they go into it.
Yeah. It's a working profession.
Yeah, I mean, Sergio Trujillo had 4 shows on Broadway last year, but you probably don't know his name. Do you know Sergio Trujillo?
Not personally.
Yes, I mean, as a choreographer, I know his name because, but I guess if you want to say he's famous in the theater community, absolutely. But mm-hmm. Is he famous in the general community? No.
And that's one of the interesting things about fame is that you can be super famous in a very, very small area.
Yeah.
And the good side of that is you don't have to worry that, you know, when you're walking down the street that people are going to bother you.
That's true. Well, he's got to worry in New York, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. We'll have more with Alison Bibikoff. Let me take a moment to introduce you to a disorder that impacts a lot of people. In the UK, it's called ME, myalgic encephalopathy. In the US, it's called CFIDS, chronic fatigue and immune dysfunction syndrome. Whatever you call it, it's a chronic neurological disease of unknown cause and no known cure. Most every body system is impacted, including the musculovascular, immune, and central nervous systems. Symptoms include problems with vision, balance, coordination, pain, and sensitivity to cold, sound, and visceral stimulation. It screws up mitochondrial production and cellular metabolism and replication. For many, it's a totally disabling condition, and even for those patients who get better, it's a relapsing, remitting disease. Although it can occur at any age, it's mostly found in women in their 20s and 30s. My daughter has been sick with this condition since her junior year in college. This is a disorder that really needs more research. So go to cfids.org and donate. CFIDS.org. Thanks. So Allison, everyone needs self-motivation occasionally. How do you give yourself a kick in the pants?
I have always been very self-motivated. I was a really good student. I worked hard. I remember when I was already accepted to UCLA at the end of my senior year, I remember how hard I studied for those last finals. There was no need. I was already into college. And if I flunked all my finals, I probably would have gotten a B+. So trust me, I have my faults. I'm not trying to be obnoxious, but if you're asking me about self-motivation in particular, I've always been very self-motivated. Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe that's a fault as well. So I think that's one of the reasons I work in this business.
Mm-hmm.
You show business. That sounds like such a cliche, but it is. It's a business. When I'm not working on a show, I'm in front of my computer looking for shows that I might be right for and making cold calls to artistic directors and saying, hi, you don't know me, but I'd love to know how you hire your directors and choreographers. Can I send you my resume? I think you have a show in your season that I'd be right for. Do you have a director for it yet? I've done it before. Here are my reviews. So in this business, you can't just sit back and wait for people to call you.
Well, let me turn the question around. How do you soothe yourself? How do you calm yourself down?
I like getting stuff done. So I don't enjoy sitting in front of the TV if I'm not working out or getting, you know, cleaning or something. I won't. I mean, if I have a friend over, we'll sit and watch a movie. Sure, I'm not completely crazy. But I like getting stuff done.
So you don't have a particular way to calm yourself?
I like my level of calmness. So, sure, I, on the weekends, I enjoy going out for a friend for dinner or for a drink, or I actually go to theater a lot as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that I can't have my time to enjoy myself and have fun, but if I'm at home, I don't need to, you know, veg out. I spend a lot of time in front of my computer when I'm at home. It's on Facebook, too. I spend time there. I'm not crazy with work. We're walking my dog.
What kind of dog do you have?
I have an adorable little Yorkie who's sitting on my lap right now.
Aww.
So I guess he soothes me.
Yes, I'm petting. Is there an event in your life that has challenged you to the core?
I'm sure there are a few. Generally, you look back and find out they weren't all that major. I guess I'm lucky to say. when I was dancing, and then I moved on to make a living really as a swing dancer for a bit. And then my swing dance partner started dancing with someone else.
Mm.
Sounds like a relationship. But it's a relationship of a sort. We weren't dating, but right. I saw he'd taken pictures with another girl without telling me. And I was making my living at that point, swing dancing with him. And he really did bring in 90% of the work, probably 95% of the work, because he taught at the Derby, which was a very well-known swing club at the time. So a lot of people called the Derby saying, we need a swing dance instructor or performer. And so they would give the job to him, and so we would have this work. So when he was dancing with someone else, I didn't know how I was going to get my jobs. So I'd say I panicked for 3 days on the phone, crying to my mom, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? It really turned out to be the best thing that ever could have happened. I started my own dance group. I started pursuing my own work. I started teaching at another top salsa club. We auditioned for the National for Swing several times. There's a musical called Swing. And when I auditioned by myself, I got it. I don't mean to slam him. He was a great guy and he's a great dancer. And we had a great time career working together for a year or two. But I found on my own, when I started pursuing the work, look what could happen. So what I thought was a catastrophe was actually great. And at the time, people try to tell you that and you just don't want to hear it.
Yes. If you were giving a commencement address for high school or college graduation, giving your best advice, what would you say?
I've never thought about that. I would say, off the top of my head and from some of the questions you've asked me earlier, I guess I would say, work hard and have a goal, but don't be afraid to go with the flow. When I, you know, my goals were to be a dancer and actress, and I really had a great time dancing, performing and acting, dancing and acting, but that's not what I do now, and that's not what I want to do now. You know, I became a director and choreographer, and it was a natural development. I'd say don't turn down any opportunity if you don't think that's what you want. I mean, if you absolutely hate the idea, you know, someone offered me the opportunity to drive a truck, I probably would turn down that opportunity.
Was it a hard transition?
Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
No, not at all. It was great. I remember stretching out for my 8th show of the week when I was doing a tour thinking, you know what, I don't really need to do this anymore. I still get called for things now and then. I had a couple lines in a movie for last year, and I have a dance gig coming up, so I still get to do it a bit.
The last question is, help me get better at this process. Think of a defining moment in your life or a story that we haven't talked about. What should I have asked you to get you to tell that story?
I really want to answer that question. I keep thinking you really asked me the two of the most important things I would have said, which is that people don't think of all aspects of a career, like giving up nights and weekends and all that. Like if you want to be a chef, you're going to be working in a restaurant nights and weekends.
Right. Or real estate.
Right, exactly. And the other really was how I thought that was the end of my career, and it actually ended up being a good move.
What projects are you currently working on that you would like to see go further?
Oh, I currently have a lot of balls in the air. I'm choreographing a new musical called I, Ghost, which is opening May 20th at the Lyric Theater. I love working on new work in particular, so this is a very good new musical. I'm very excited about that. I am getting the rights to a new musical, which I'd like to develop, and I would tell you about that, but I can't quite yet because I don't have the rights, but I'd love to tell you about that. It's a great new musical.
Tell me about the process. How do you get rights for something? Do you just call them up and say, I want to buy this? Or it's a limited rights?
You pay for an option. I have the exclusive option to develop this show for X amount of time. Usually it's 3 years or so.
Mm.
So, yeah, I gotta call a lawyer and iron it all out. But, you know, we've talked over the years about the project, and I've been interested in the past, and now I'm ready to develop it. I wasn't really ready previously. I had other interests. But, yeah, I got to get a lawyer involved. It's not, you know, it's a friendly process because they want me to develop it, and I want to develop it, but you just have to get all the T's crossed and I's dotted and all that. So, basically, I have the right to develop this work, and to, they're usually some guidelines, and sometimes they say, oh, if within 2 years you haven't had a workshop, you don't have the rights anymore, because they want to make sure you're actually actively developing it. You're not sitting on it for 3 years while someone else develops a competing project, you know?
Right. Do these projects come from, since we're talking generically, do these projects come from books or plays or shows that are already have been produced previously?
Well, if it's been produced previously, then you're just going to Samuel French or one of the companies and paying for the right to produce it for X amount of shows. You know, they send you a script, and this is a new project, and they can come from, the answer would be yes, they come from pretty much any of those sources. This is someone who has the rights to someone's life story.
Oh.
So this guy has the rights to someone's life story, so then he developed this musical.
I see.
Which I would like to further develop. So he wrote the music, and I think he wrote the lyrics as well, and somebody else wrote the book, the story of it. So I'll get the rights to develop that project.
Putting on a big project. I mean, putting on theater is a big project.
Yes.
You've got words and music and direction and dancing, and there's a lot of moving parts.
Yes. A lot of moving parts, a lot of people with opinions.
Mm-hmm.
It's collaborative.
So theater is a team sport.
Yes, it is. You have to be okay with someone else having an opinion on what you do and be willing to change it sometimes because of their opinion. You just have to find good people to work with. I mean, I've been lucky enough to work with, I've had some challenging experiences as well, but mm-hmm. for the most part, I've been lucky enough to pick my current project and that Saving Up for Saturday Night project I mentioned. I've worked with both of those I choreographed as opposed to directed.
Mm-hmm.
And I've worked with directors who might say, oh, I'm not sure about this, and I'll kind of explain, and they'll be, oh, yes, okay, I get that. Or, you know, if they really have a problem with something, I respect them enough, their opinion enough, to change it. You just have to find people you enjoy working with and have a respectful relationship with. And when you don't, that's a learning experience, and that's what I call mom and dad. Vent to them.
I want to thank Allison Bibikoff for joining me. Thanks, Allison. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks. It was my pleasure. Thank you for asking.